Shir is Daf Kuf Chavav, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Chav Hey Amud Beis, about 15-16 lines from the bottom. We had learned in the Mishnah, Zmar Shikshura, if a vine is tied to the pitcher, it can be used to draw water with it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Kshura in, only if the vine is tied to the pitcher can it be used, like Kshura Loi, but if it's not tied, it may not be used. Says the Gemara, Lema Snisna Lakushim Gamliel, should we not have a proof that our Mishnah doesn't go according to Shim Gamliel? The Tanya, we have Rav Shim Gamliel Shita that says, if somebody hardened branches of a date palm for firewood, and then for Nimlach Liyeshiva, he decided that instead of using them for firewood, he wants to use them for sitting. Tzarech Likshar, he has to do an action. He has to tie them together to show that he's making them not muksa. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ein Tzarech Likshar, you don't have to tie it. Just intent is enough. Should we say that our Mishnah, that also says that he actually has to tie the vine to the pitcher, says that you have to do an action, not just intent? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, I feel Tamer Rav Shimon Gamliel. Our Mishnah could work even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why? Hachav Ma'iskinen, what are we discussing? What's the case of our Mishnah? B'mechuberes Bavia, where the vine is still attached to the grapevine. In such a case, even Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees that it has to be tied to the pitcher before it could be permitted. Because like Duran explains, that since it's still attached and it's giving off fruit, he's careful that the vine should not get ruined. The only way we see that the vine to him is not part of the grapevine is when he actually attaches it. Ask the Gemara, if we're discussing a situation where the vine is still attached to the grapevine, he's using something which is attached to the ground, which we know on Shabbos you're not allowed to use anything attached to the ground. Answers the Gemara, Lamata Mishloisha. It's talking with a very short vine, which is within three tefachim of the ground. The halacha that you're not allowed to mishtamish b'mechubar does not apply to something that's less than three tefachim from the ground. Rav Ashi says a different tarot. A field tamer betelusha. We can be speaking about a vine which is detached. Still, in this case of Shimon Gamliel will hold that it has to be tied, because gzeira shem yiktaim. Chazal made a special gzeira because they were concerned that if the vine is not attached to the pitcher before Shabbos, he'll find that the vine is too long and he'll cut it to size, and according to Rashi, he'll be over the Isra Makkah Bepatish. According to the other Rishonim, say that he'll be over the Isra Mechatech. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that from our Gemara we see that anything that's mechubar, anything that's attached to the ground, is considered muksa. And that's why the vine, until it's detached, is considered muksa. The Oz Nidbaru disagrees, and he says just the opposite. Our Gemara is saying that something that's attached is not muksa. This case is an exception because you have the concern that we just explained of Shema Yiktai. Now there's a very interesting issue that we have to discuss. Rav Shimon Gamliel, we have now Rav Shimon Gamliel, we'll have him later in the Shia Mitzvah Shem again, says that intent under normal circumstances, if you have an item which is muksa, but you intend to use it on Shabbos, that takes away the muksa status. Designation is enough. Now, the question is, when we speak about designation, that he designated to use it, what does that mean? Does it mean permanent designation? That he now designated, let's talk about the case that we just spoke about, the Chorya Shaldekel. Does it mean that he permanently designated these wood not to be sat on, not to be used as firewood? Or is enough just a one-time designation for the Shabbos? It's very interesting. When you look in the Shulchan Aruch says that designation for one Shabbos, if I designate that this Shabbos I want to use it for sitting, is adequate. However, the Shulchan Aruch says in another place, when it's talking about stones, and a stone we know is Muksumach Meskufoy, that if somebody designated the stone to sit on, the halacha is it won't be Muksa. But there the Shulchan Aruch says the designation has to be a permanent designation. So now we have a contradiction. Is designation for one Shabbos adequate, or must we have a permanent designation? So the Mefarsh, the Paskim explain like this. It depends with what you start, that's how we could Paskin with what you end. Meaning as follows. Wood, bundles of wood, are something that people used to sit on. So yes, they were put away for firewood, and if I want to be able to use them, I have to designate them for sitting. But since that's not such a significant act that I'm doing, designation for one Shabbos is adequate. However, on the other hand, stones, which are, as we've been learning many times, a very high level of muksa, their mere designation for one Shabbos is not enough. To really show that this item is not muksa to me, I have to designate it for a permanent that will not be used for sitting. And really, in the Shulchan Aruch itself, we have a proof to that. Because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if somebody wants to use small nuts to crack nuts, mental designation for one Shabbos is enough. But the Shulchan Aruch says that for stones, you have to have permanent designation. The answer is, buy big stones, which are normally not used for sitting on, and I want to make it not muksa through designation. I have to have a strong designation. Small stones to use to crack nuts, that's not so far-fetched, and therefore designation for one Shabbos is adequate. So we learned in the Mishnah about pekak haloim. We learned about a window shutter. And we had a machloikis, Rebbe Lezer, and the Chachamim. Rebbe Lezer said that in order to be able to put on the window shutters, two conditions have to be met. One condition is that it has to be tied to the window, and the other condition is that it has to be hanging. By meeting both of those conditions, when somebody puts in the window shutter in the window, it doesn't look like he's building. It doesn't look like binyan. Omer Rabba Bebachana Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Hakol Moedim Shein Oysen Oil Arai Betchil Beyontav. Everybody, Rebbe Lezer and the Chum all agree that somebody can't make a temporary structure in Yontav, Ven Tzarech Lamin B'Shabbos. So the way Rashi explains this is that we're talking about a roof. To go make a roof, even if it's temporary, is also in Shabbos because of Midrabanan of making a roof. What about erecting a wall? Says Rashi, there's no problem in erecting a wall if it's arai, if it's temporary. Now says the Gemara, lo nechlaku, the machloikis of Rebbe Lezer and Rabbanan is Allah Hosef. If somebody can make a temporary addition to the roof of an existing structure. Rebbe Lezer says, "En mosifim b'yontiv, v'en tzarech lamin b'shabbos yinala durin yontiv or on Shabbos." V'cham oimrim, mosifim b'shabbos yilara durin Shabbos, v'en tzarech lamin b'yontiv, and certainly yilara do it on yontiv. Tosfos asks two fundamental questions on Rashi. Rashi says that the only thing that is an issa of oil arai is on the roof, not on the wall. Ask Tosfos, what's the case of our Mishnah that we're relating to? A window. Where's a window? A window's on the wall. So how could Rashi say that the Isser of Oysen Oil Arai is limited to the roof? Here we see that it even applies to the wall. So Chassam Sofer answers that the window, according to Rashi, the window that we're referring to in the Mishnah is not a window in the wall, it's a skylight. And the Chassam Sofer says, how do we know that a skylight is called a window? Because it's something that we say every day. We say every day in the davening, Uvaikea chaloinei rekia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu breaks through the windows of the sky. So we see that even a skylight is considered a window. Now Tosfos asks another question. The halacha is that in sukkahs, you have to make a sukkah. You have to sit in a sukkah. And it says Tosfos in Masechta the Sukkah, that you're not allowed to add to the, you're not allowed to make a third wall to the sukkah. Now, a A sukkah, by definition, is an oil arai. It's a temporary wall. And even though it's temporary, the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara is paskening, you're not allowed to add it, a wall. But Rashi just said that you are allowed to make a temporary wall on Shabbos and Yontif. That's why Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. And Tosfos says that any wall, when we say oil arai, it's not limited to the roof. It even means temporary walls are also to be made in Shabbos and Yontif. So before we say the halach l'maisa, how will Rashi answer the Gemara Masechta Sukkah? So Tosfos Emes answers that in a place where the roof exists, even Rashi will agree that adding walls, even temporary walls, is asur. So the case in Masechta Sukkah is talking about where there was already a roof, and that's why Rashi will agree. The Lashon HaZov says a different teretz. Lashon HaZov says that when did Rashi say, Avada Rashi normally says making a temporary wall is mutter, there's no problem with oil arai. But in Sukkah, since the sukkah, the wall of the sukkah, is a crucial part of the sukkah, because you can't have a kosher sukkah without three walls, therefore Rashi will agree that to make the third wall of the sukkah would be osur on sukkahs. Halach lemaisa, Shulchan Aruch paskens like Tosfos, that any wall, that even on the wall, there is a halacha of ein oisin oil arai b'shabbos for yontif. However, Tosfos qualifies that is only by mechitza hamateris. That's only by mechitza that is a wall that is halachically required, like the case we're speaking about, the wall of the sukkah, that without the third wall you don't have a kosher sukkah. But a wall that's just made l'tznius b'alma, just for privacy, but not that it has a halachic requirement to make that wall, on such a wall there is no issa of a tznius oil arai. The Matcha gives an example. The Matcha says that the halacha would be that if there's somebody saying a speech to men and women, and they just want to put up a mechitza between the men and the women, a temporary wall between the men and women, that wall would be mutter to be put up on Shabbos for Yontif, because it's a temporary wall and is not required lahalacha. However, if on the other hand they would be having a minyan and you need to have put up a mechitza between the men and the women, there it would be us to make the wall, because that wall is not just an oil arai, that wall has a halachic requirement, and that way it would be us to make that wall. Now, the interesting shaila that the Paiskim ask, what's going to be the halacha in reverse? What's going to be the halacha to take apart an oil arai? For example, we have a tent erected. The walls of a tent are obviously temporary in nature, and there are five people in that tent, and there are five people outside the tent. And we want to lift the walls of the tent to have 10 people for a minyan, which without 10 people, we don't have a minyan. Is lifting it, just like creating a temporary wall, according to Tosfos, according to the halacha, is not mutter if it accomplishes something la halacha, could be undoing a temporary wall, is also usur, because it would be called stiris ayil arai. Or perhaps the halacha is more stringent in creation versus destruction, and there, since it's oil arai, it's only a wall, we may be more lenient. Continues the Gemara. V'chamayimrim, ben kach ben kach paikikim bai. The Chum say, in either case, we could close the window. Now, we're going to learn the Gemara the way Rashi explains the Gemara. My ben kach ben kach. What does ben kach ben kach mean? Om Rav Abba, Om Rav Kahana. Rav Abba said the name of Kahana. Ben kosher, ben she'en kosher. It doesn't make a difference whether the shutter is attached to the building or it's not attached. You're allowed to put it on. V'hu mishem is looking. As long as it was prepared before Shabbos to be put on. So as long as it's Mesukin, it's enough. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah asks Rabbi Yirmiyah, so the way Rabbi Abba is defining the Rabbanan and our Mishnah, the Rabbanan are very lenient. They don't require any attachment. Perhaps we should say that the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Lezer only regarding the halacha of suspension. Rabbi Lezer says that it's not allowed to be suspended. I'll say that the Rabbanan will hold that even if it's not suspended, even if it's laying on the floor, you could put it on. It has to be attached. Why are you saying that the Rabbanan are that lenient? Machloikus kan, and he continues his question. Just like we have machloikus in our Mishnah, we have the same machloikus in Masechta Erevin. The Mishnah says in Masechta Erevin, machloikus kan kach machloikus benagra hanigra. We have regarding a door bolt that drags on the ground. The Tanan, because the Mishnah in Masechta Erevin says like this, nagar hanigra. If you have a door bolt that drags on the ground, it's tied to the door, but the cord is so long that the bolt reaches the ground. So the halacha is, Noyan Lambay B'Migdash, the Tana Kama holds, you could lock a door with it in the base of Migdash. Because as we've said, Ein Shvus B'Migdash, Gzeris Rabbanon don't apply in the base of Migdash. And therefore, even though something is Osamid Rabbanon, Chutz L'Beis HaMigdash, it's Mutter, in the Beis HaMikdash, Avaloi B'Medina. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to use this kind of a bolt. V'amunach. However, what a bolt that is completely unattached to the door, it just is on the floor, everybody will agree, kanva kanva osur, it will be osur to attach that bolt to the door, both in the Beis HaMikdash, and both not in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda says like this, Hamunach B'Mikdash. The bolt that's unattached and is on the floor is mutter in the Beis HaMikdash. The nigror and the one that is attached but drags on the ground is mutter even outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Tanya. And there's a braisa that explains that Mishnah. Eizu nagra hanigra. What is the definition of a bolt that drags on the ground, that the halacha is shnoylan ba b'migdash avlo b'medina, that you're allowed to use in the Beis HaMikdash but not outside the Beis HaMikdash, kosher, it has to be attached, v'toloi, and it has to be suspended, v'roish magi l'aretz, but its end reaches the ground. And like the Mefarshim explain, that the upper end is suspended, but its lower end reaches the ground. And the halacha is, even if both ends reach the ground, the bolt may be used in the Beis HaMikdash. The reason the Braisa speaks about the case where one of its ends reached the ground is to teach that even a bolt that rests only partially on the ground is also outside the Beis HaMikdash. I would think, since it's only partially on the ground, that's not considered on the ground. This price is teaching us any touching of the ground makes it be considered like it's on the ground. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Ze'af b'medina mutter. These conditions would be mutter even in the chutz l'beis hamikdash. Eilus b'medina also. What is the case that's usher outside the beis hamikdash? Kosh ena loy kosher loy toli. It's not attached nor suspended. V'shamtem minicha v'kerenz avos. It's just in a corner. That is also outside the Beis HaMikdash. Rami Yehuda, Rami Vishubar Abba Mishmeid Ula, Man Tana Nagar Negra. Who's the Tana that says that a bolt which is attached but drags on the ground may not be used outside the Beis HaMikdash? Rabbi Lezer. It's Rabbi Lezer who in our Mishnah said that a window shutter cannot be used unless it's attached and suspended in the air. Which means Rabbi Yehuda follows the opinion of the Chachamim v'Am Mishnah, who are the people who argue on Rabbi Lezer. And since Rabbi Yehuda agrees that a bolt has to at least be attached for it to be permitted outside the Beis HaMikdash, same thing asks Rabbi Yirmiyah to Rabbi Abba, how can you say when it's said in our Mishnah, ben kach and ben kach, the Rabbanan say ben kach and ben kach, it means even if it's unattached, don't the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda? Aren't they one in the same Shita? And Rabbi Yehuda, we see, explicitly holds, even though Rabbi Yehuda is a Mekel, attachment, tying, is still required. Amalei, so Rabbi Abba says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, no, I have a third Shita. And the way that Chassam Soif explains the Gemara is like this. Rabbi Yirmiyah was saying to Rabbi Abba, we have two Shitas in Masechta Erevin. We have the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and we have the other Shita, the Tanakama. If we go and line up the Machlokes in our Masechta and the Machlokes in Masechta Erevin, it works perfect. Rabbi Lezer is going to hold like the Tanakama, and the Rabbanan are going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda. But according to your explanation, we now have a third Shita, which is not found in Masechta Erevin. So Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking Rabbi Abba, why do that? Why not just explain that the Rabbanan of our Mishnah hold like Rabbi Yehuda Masechta Erevin, and we have two identical machlokes without adding a third Shita? To that Rabbi Abba answers, says the Chassam Sofer, that there anyway is a third Shita. Because another Amri Kahai Tana, I hold like the Tana, the Tanya, Kornish Eskina Balbais Lias Pesef and Noibar, a rod that Balbais prepared for use in unlocking and locking doors, Bezman Shekosh V'Toli B'Pesach, when it's attached to the wall and suspended in the doorway, the loch is Pesef and Noibar, you could use it. Ain't Kosh V'Toli, if it's not attached and suspended, ain't Pesef and Noibar, you can't use it. Rav Shim Gamliel says, Mesukin, once the rod was prepared for this purpose, apish and a kosher, even if it's not attached to the wall, it can be used. Says Rav Abba, the Rabbanan are going to agree with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, Tosfos, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that's the way we're learning the Gemara. Tosfos has a fundamental problem with Rashi's explanation. Tosfos says that the Gemara uses the language Mesukin. Mesukin is a halacha in Hilchas Muksa, not in Hilchas Binyan. So how does Rashi connect Mesukin and Rav Shimon Gamliel, which is a issue in Hilchas Muksa, to Binyan, which Rashi says is the sugya of this Gemara? That's why Tosfos learns that the whole Gemara has to do with Muksa. We're not going to go into Tosfos Shita, but just to try to understand Rashi Shita, because how does Mesukin get into our Gemara according to Rashi? What is the factor? So the Chassam Sofer, Davni Nezer, explain like this. They say, even according to Rashi, why is there no problem that a binyan, there is an Isser of binyan b'Shabbos? So even if the rod is Mesukin, what's the difference? Isn't there a problem of binyan? And why is there no problem? That's why Rashi says it's Mesukin. It's Mesukin, that's why the Gemara says it's Mesukin to be constantly put in and taken out. Where is there an Issa Binyan? The Issa Binyan is when I put something there to leave permanently. So if it's not Mesukin, if it's not prepared, I'm concerned I'm going to leave it there permanently, there would be an Issa Binyan. If it's Mesukin to constantly be put in and taken out, there is no issue of Binyan. That's why Mesukin is relevant even to Hilchos Binyan. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bashelis, Amr of Asi, Amr of Yochanan, Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Halach is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amr of Yochanan Hachi, did Rav Yochanan say that the Halach is that like Rav Shimon Gamliel? But not. We learned in the Mishnah. Actually, the next Mishnah we're going to learn. Kol Kisi HaKalim. All handles, all covers of vessels, Sheyesh Lahem Beis Achiza, that have handles, Nitolim B'Shabbos. May and be taken in Shabbos. V'amar Rav Yehuda Bashelis, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, V'hu Sheyesh Taris Kelaleim. This rule is only applicable if the covers can function as utensils. They have a use on Shabbos. Otherwise, the muksa. So what do we see? The Rav Yochanan considers something that does not function as a utensil to be muksa. How can you say that he fastens Rav Shimon Gamliel? He says that a rod, just based on mere designation, is already not muksa. V'chi teima, What are you going to tell me? Hachanami de Kataris Kelyalov. That we're dealing with a rod that can function as a utensil. That's why Rabbi Yochanan will say that it's not muksa. Says the Gemara, Mi bar Rav Shimon Gamliel Taras Kelyalov. Does Rav Shimon Gamliel require that it has to be a functional utensil in order for it not to be muksa? For Tanya, Gemara that we learned at the beginning of the shiur today, Charoya Shaldekel, the wood that of the palm of the a palm tree Shigidron Hashem Eitzim that was used, that was originally cut to be used as firewood for Nimlech Aleim LeYeshiva, and then he decided to sit in them Tzarech Likshar. The Tanakama holds, in order to make them not muksa, you have to actually tie them. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees, and he says Ein Tzarech Likshar. He doesn't have to tie them. It's enough that he should designate them as seats before Shabbos. Now, Chorei Shaldekel are not utensils. They're pieces of wood. And still, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that designation, mental designation, is enough. Says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Svir like Vasei B'chada. Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel in one halacha. He says that a rod can be used as a lock, even though it's not attached to the door, just based on the designation. However, Palag LeBechada, he disagrees with him, because he would say that when is mental designation enough? It's only on something like a rod, which is a keli, which is a utensil. And Rav Shimon Gamliel will say that mental designation even works for something which is not a keli. Darush Rav Yitzchak Nafka Pitzcha to Resh Galusa. Rav Yitzchak Nafka said at the home of Resh Galusa, Halach Krebeleza. The halacha is like Krebeleza. That in order to use the window shutter, you have to have it attached to the building and suspended in the air. Masar for Avram asks for Amram for Mishnah we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta. It says at the end of the Masechta, Medvreim Lamadnu, from their words we learn, Shepaikikim, we can shudder, or mightier than we can measure, for Kaishan, and we can tie in Shabbos. So this Mishnah says that we can use we can shutter a window, even with something that is not attached to the building. Amalei Baya. So Baya said to Rav Amram, "My datach, why are you asking from that Mishnah? Shem the Katani Stama, because that Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. It's just mentioned anonymously, and we know whenever we have an anonymous Mishnah, halacha is Stam Mishnah. The halacha is like that anonymous Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, but the Mishnah that we quoted in Amun Aleph, the Mishnah of Nagra HaNigra, that says that you can only use the bolt when it's attached and suspended, Nami Stamahi. It's also Stam Mishnah. And we have the rule that we always follow a Stam Mishnah. So we have a Stam Mishnah in Masechta Erevin. So why does the Stam Mishnah at the end of Masechta Shabbos bother you that much? Answers the Gemara, Afilahocha Maisarav. The Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos is a stronger basis than the Mishnah Masechta Erevin. Why? Because the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos is not just an anonymous ruling, it was based on actual halacha lemaisa that the Tanoim actually practiced that way, and that's why it's more authoritative. So now we just have a rule that halacha lemaisa, Mishnah, that is not just a Stam Mishnah, but a Mishnah that represents a halacha lemaisa is considered more authoritative. The Shor Mitzion Balocha asks, when we say that a Mishnah that follows a psak halacha lemaisa is more authoritative, what does that mean? Does it mean when something was actually followed, b'kum v'asei, that was done, like the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos that we're discussing, where they actually shuttered windows? But what's going to be a halacha when you have a Mishnah that speaks about a Maisa, but the Maisa is only that something wasn't done? In other words, somebody came to a Rav and asked him a Shaila, and he said, don't do it. What would be the halacha? And let's understand what the Shor Mitzion Balocha's question is. What's the strength of a Maisa? The strength of a Maisa is because it's not just something that was discussed theoretically in the Beis Medrash, it was actually acted upon. So if that's the case, so it wouldn't make a difference if it's action or inaction. The fact that they use this psak la'aloch la'maisa is a proof that this is authoritative. Or you could say like this, if they told you to do something, which somebody else would tell you not to do, that shows that this is a strong halacha. But if they just told you not to do something, it's not because they necessarily held that way, they were just playing it safe. And therefore, a maisa with a psak that doesn't represent an action, only represents don't do something, would not be considered that authoritative. Says the Mishnah, Kisei keilim sheyesh lam beis achiza, vessel covers that have handles, nitolim b'Shabbos, may be taken on Shabbos. Am Rabbi Yossi, serves Rabbi Yossi, b'med ver amurim, when was this said? B'kisui kakos, regarding covers of holes in the ground. Ava b'kisei keilim, regarding covers of vessels, ben kach nitolim b'Shabbos. In either case, they, whether they have handles or not, they may be taken on Shabbos. Am Yehuda b'sheilo, am Rabbi Asi, am Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu sheyesh teres keilim leim. This rule that the covers can function, this rule is applicable only if the covers can function as vessels by them being used for some task. Otherwise, they're muksa. Now, the Gemara, then it will not require any handle. So says the Gemara. The Kul Alma, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah agree. The kisui kakos, covers of holes in the ground, the halacha will be im yesh lam beis achiza in, if they have handles, they can be moved, iloi loi, and if they don't, they can't be moved. Kisui kelim, regarding covers of movable utensils, afgav de ein lam beis achiza, even if they do not have handles, they can be moved, provided, as Rabbi Yochanan said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, v'hu sheyesh tayres kliyaleihem, they can be function as utensils. Ki pligi, what is the machloikus, when is the machloikus of Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama of our Mishnah mentioned? In bekelim dechabrinu ba'ara, regarding utensils that are attached to the ground. Mash sover, the Tanakhama holds the Gazrinan, that we said that handles of kalim attached to the ground have the same halacha as something on the ground. Covers of something covering utensil attached to the ground have the same halacha as the ground itself, and will require a handle. A masover, Rabbi Yossi holds like Gazrinan, since they're kalim, even though they're attached to the ground, it wouldn't make a difference. Lishnachrina, another version, keep ligi b'kisutana, regarding an oven, which as we explained yesterday, is a utensil that's attached to the ground. Ma'am damale, the Tanakhama compares the cover of a oven, l'kisukaku, to the cover of something, to a cover of a hole on the ground. Well, there the halacha will be, it will require a handle. And Rabbi Yossi compares it to the cover of regular utensils, and it doesn't require a keli. Now, the Mashal quotes Tosfos, says that there's really no substantive difference between these two lashonos, where you talk about kelim dechabrinu la'ara or a tanner. Both of them represent vessels that are attached to the ground. However, the Rishonim, there are other Rishonim that disagree, and they say a very nice pshat. The way we'll say it is like this. Yesterday, we learned the Gemara. We learned the same Gemara about covers with handles. And Gemara passing like Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov, that it doesn't require a handle. And the Rif brings down Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov's psak lahalocha. Yet, the Rif in our Gemara paskins that something attached to the ground is considered like the ground and requires a handle. So how do we resolve the contradiction in the Rif? So the Rishonim say, the Ran, the Ramban, the Rajba say there's a difference between utensils that are completely buried in the ground and ovens. Buried utensils can be confused with holes in the ground, and it is therefore, that's where the Rif agrees with the Tanakhama and will say that such a utensil's cover will require a handle. However, ovens are not completely in the ground. They protrude from the ground, as we explained yesterday. And therefore, the Rif will say, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov said yesterday, that they will not require the covers of ovens, even though the ovens are in the ground, will not require handles. Now, before we finish the Gemara, when somebody learns this Gemara, he thinks to himself, This piece of Gemara that we just learned is not really relevant la halach lemaisa. Handles to kalim buried in the ground, something buried, attached to the ground, doesn't need a handle, doesn't need a handle. The truth is, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein points out that it can have halach lemaisa repercussions. What happens if somebody needs to open up the bowl of the toilet on Shabbos, where the toilet we know is mechubal karka, it's connected to the ground, it's a keli that's mechubal karka, and it has no handle? Would you be allowed to take off that cover or not? Because it's keli a mechubal karka, that we're saying now, certain tanoim say that it has a din like the cover of the ground, that you're not allowed to take it off. Hadron loch kolakeim, halach kolakeim, halach kolakeim. Says the Mishnah, Mefanim afila arba v'chamish kupish shel tevel v'shel tefuah. Someone could clear away on Shabbos even four or five boxes or straw or grain from Nei Orchim, because he has guests, or Nei Bittel Beis Medrash, or because there's a Talmud Chacham coming to say a shir and you need the room. So the way that we show him explain the Mishnah is like this. The halach is that on Shabbos, on Uvda Dechol, something that is like a weekday activity, and certainly when it's a tircha, when it involves a lot of exertion, is aser. So it's aser just to move boxes on Shabbos. However, here, because of the mitzvah of achnasas archim, or learning, Chazal said that you are allowed to move it, avalayas aitzer, but not a store of straw or grain. This line will explain more mitzvashem in the Gemara. So, first of all, there's a shaila. What is the halacha of bnei orchim? Because a guest. The Truma Sadeshin says the definition of a guest means that it's a person who's a guest in the city and he doesn't have where to eat, or it's poor people who don't have where to eat. But just if I want to invite a guest to my home for social reasons, but he, Baruch Hashem, has what to eat at home and he lives nearby, this halacha will not apply. The Pesachei Tshuva brings down a number of Pesachim that disagree and say, under all circumstances, Mnei Orcha means any type of guest. The Shem Tzion Malacha brings down that the heter to move the chairs for the shear of the Talmud Chacham only applies when the Talmud Chacham is here and ready to give the shear, and we don't have adequate seating, so we're allowed to move the boxes. But just because we're anticipating that he may come and say his shear, there is no heter. Tosfos says that the boxes that we're referring to have a standard size. Each box can carry shloison, three saw is the measure of each box. Continues the Mishnah, Mefanim Truma Tahira. What can we clear away? We can clear away Truma that is tar, and since it's Truma that's tar, it may be eaten on Shabbos, and therefore it's not Muksa. Now Rashi says, like this, Rashi says, if it would be Truma Tameya, you're not allowed to clear it away, even though Rashi says, the halacha is that Truma Tameya has to be burnt. But one of the ways it may be burnt is by serving it to your animal. That is not allowed to be done on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to get rid of Truma Tameya on Shabbos. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi, and they say that getting rid of Truma Tameya, burning Truma Tameya, by giving it to your animal is not acceptable. It has to be actually burnt, not given to your animal. Now Rashi also says, why Truma Tahira can be moved? Because Truma Tahira may be served to a Kohen's animal. But the Rishonim, the Achronim, all question Rashi. Why does he have to say that pshat? Because it could be served to an animal. Why doesn't he just say simple? Because the Kohen himself could eat it. So the first one to say, because Rashi is referring to the type of truma like barley, which barley is not normally eaten by humans. So now, what's going to be the halacha with that truma? It's takatar, but it's not eaten by humans. Is it muks or not? So Rashi's saying, since Kohen's animal can and may eat it, that's why it's not muksa. But the mai is as follows. Chazal said that since the Amaratzim we were concerned did not take off Trumas and Maisris, anything you take, you buy from them, you have to take off your own Trumas and Maisa. So the Mishnah is paskening that that Demai can be moved on Shabbos, and we'll explain in the Gemara why. Similarly, Maisrishin whose Truma has been taken, because the Halach is that after the farmer takes off Truma, then he gives off Maisrishin 10% of what's left over and gives it to the Levi. The Levi then has to take off 10% of that, which is called Trumas Maisa, and give it to the Kohen. So Mais Rish Shnitl Trumasa means that it's Maisa from which the Trumas Maisa, the 10% that the Levi has to give to the Kohen, was removed, or Maisa Sheni Vehegdish Shniftu. The Loch is that Maisa Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim or Hegdish, but has to be given to Hegdish, but you can redeem it. And the Mishnah is saying that if they were redeemed, they are not muksa because they can be eaten. What the chiddush in each one of these cases are, we'll learn in the shiur tomorrow. Furthermore, by termis yovish, dry termis. Termis is a type of a beam. Ibnei shumachal leizim, because it's food for goats. There's another gerusim ibnei shumachal aniim. It's poor people eat it. Avloi is a tevel. We cannot clear away tevel. Tevel is something from which trumas and maisas were not removed and is therefore muksa. Veloi mais rishin shloi netru tumasoi. Not mais rishin whose truma has not been taken. Veloi as mais sheni vehegdish loi niftu, and not mais sheni or hegdish that were not redeemed. Now here the question is the other way. Obviously, if they weren't redeemed, or it's tevel, it's obviously muksa, because they're not allowed to be eaten on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to separate trumas and maisus and Shabbos. So they're obviously muksa. So they obviously may not be moved. Why the Mishnah needs to tell us these cases? Again, we will learn in the Gemara. Veloi as haluf, not luf, because again, luf, even though it's a type of bean, was totally inedible, so it's muksa. Veloi as achardel, not unground mustard, because unground mustard is not edible. Shem Gamliel, matabaluf. He says that luf can be cleared away because it's not muksa. Why is it not muksa? Neshumachl oven. It's food for ravens. And the way Rashi explains, in those times, wealthy people would raise ravens, and this would be the food they felt, fed them. Chavili kash, bundles of straw, the chavili etzim, bundles of twigs, the chavili zardim, bundle of reeds, if they've been set aside as animal feed, so they're not muksa, and that's why metaklon l'sam. Memlav, if they've not been set aside, they're muksa, and a metaklon l'sam, they may not be moved. We'll just end with a milsa, the b'dichusa. There was once a person, a wealthy person, who the gaboyim, the tzedakah gaboyim, came to him and said that they want him to please invite people to eat in his home, hachnosos orchim. So he said that the way he is mekayim, the way he accomplishes mitzvah hachnosos orchim, is that he has pushkas in his house, and he puts money into the pushkas, he gives money to tzedakah, and that's how he does the mitzvah, but he doesn't invite guests. So they told him, our Mishnah shows you that you're wrong, because the Mishnah says, "Mefanim es akupin," you put away the pushka of nei orchim. It's more important to actually invite guests to your house than just to give them money in your pushka.